Welcome to episode 265 of the Lunatic Files podcast. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the podcast. Today is Monday, November the 6th. Glad to be here. Hope you had a great weekend. Finally got a little bit of time here by myself. Thought I'd check in on you. 7 days until my trip to Vancouver. I am looking very forward to that. It's going to be 1 week staying downtown in the condo that my sister has vacated and has generously offered to me. And that, interestingly enough, the place where she lives now used to be a nightclub. Back in the day, when I lived there, it was a pretty hopping nightclub. Now it's my sister's condominium. So great to be here. Hope things are going well for you. It's kind of cold here in San Diego these days. It's kind of weird. My first fall in Southern California, and the weather here, it sneaks up on you, I have to say. It's not cold by any, you know, relative standard that I am used to. However, the weather, it goes from summer, like 1 minute you're worried about forest fires and it's hot. And then it seems like just within a couple of days, it just flips to what they basically call winter here, which is not a real winter. But still, if you're not psychologically prepared because you don't have sort of, you know, the leaves falling and wind and, you know, things that you're supposed to have in the fall, you don't have that. And then suddenly the sun's gone and it's winter. It's kind of weird. But anyway, it's not a complaint. I'm definitely not complaining. So I was out with my son on the weekend. My mom is actually in town visiting. And so we've been hanging out with her. But on the weekend, my son and I got up really early. I tend to get up early, and he was up. As soon as he realizes I'm up, he gets up. And so I don't know what time it is, 7 o'clock, something like that. We're hanging around. And we go for a drive, figure I'd get some donuts for the kids. So we're driving around, and is it me or have cyclists taken over the entire continent? I can't figure out. I can't figure out if it's just the cities that I like, because they seem to be everywhere. You know, is it just Austin, Texas, Vancouver, Concord, Massachusetts, and now Carlsbad? or is it everywhere? Because they are everywhere here. And so we're driving around and there's like, you know, several gaggles of these guys on the side of the road as we go to our favorite donut shop. And it's funny because we pull in and then a bunch of them pull into the donut shop too. And it's just a weird sight. I think the costumes that these guys wear now are weird anyway. You know, like if you, I was thinking about this, strangely enough, in the context of all these sexual assault allegations going on, which is kind of a weird, like it's kind of a weird parallel. Like how would these things be connected? But I was just thinking earlier about the Hollywood thing, Weinstein, and the other directors and, you know, the actors and what they were able to get away with. And it's just incredible. And you think, how was that possible? But I guess back in the day, I mean, if you're going to go back 30 years, things like that were actually acceptable because by definition, people knew about it, but accepted it, right? There was no outrage. And some of these complaints were publicly known, meaning they were published in magazines, yet there was no outrage. So those things were actually acceptable back then. And I was thinking, well, it's amazing what you can get away with if it's accepted by enough people. And so how does this connect to these cycling outfits? Well, if you just look at them, they're actually quite ridiculous, right? The fact that you would wear that, if it wasn't accepted, if it wasn't popular, I guess, that wouldn't do it, right? So anyway, I mean, I get it. There's a purpose to it when you're in a race. But I'm just saying, if you're just like strolling around on a Sunday or Saturday morning, it's kind of, the whole thing's kind of ridiculous. And what's even more ridiculous is if you and your group ride to a donut shop, and so you're dressed like you're in the Tour de France, but you're actually like sitting there at a donut shop beside me and my four-year-old boy. Anyway, so I was having all of these thoughts while we were eating these delicious donuts. But then again, you know, who am I to talk, right? Because right after that, I took my son home, dropped off the box, and then I went to the gym to work out. How stupid is that? That's what I did. So anyway, trying to get in shape. I go through these phases. And so right now I'm kind of trying to get on the up phase, you know, where I actually take care of myself, where I try to eat right and try to get in shape. It's been up and down, up and down, up and down. The last time I did this was, when was it? About 4.5 years ago or 5 years ago. I know that because my son is 4. And so it was about a year before he was born. My daughter was 4. And so right about the age where sanity was returning to my life and I could actually take some time and go do something like that. And I did for about a year, and then my son was born, and then again, off the fitness wagon. So anyway, I'm back at it again, up, down. And it's funny, this up, down thing has been going on since my 20s. You know, I get really into it, get totally in shape, and then something happens and get distracted and it goes. And then, you know, I get back in the mode, and then I see, okay, I can get it back, you know. And so there's the 20s, the 30s, now the 40s. I'm thinking, man, one of these days I'm just not going to be able to get it back. Is this the time, right? Last time wasn't the time I was able to get it back. This time I'm wondering, I think I'll be able to get it back, but I'm not sure. But yeah, I just can't keep this consistent thing going. I'm going to have to do something about that. Funny, I remember years ago, this is probably by now, I'm thinking it's like 15 years ago, something like that. I was on one of my down phases, so not working out, working really hard at my job, not working out. And my friend and I, Saroj, who's a colleague, used to come on this podcast actually back when it was Economy. We were talking one day and we were talking about stock options. My wife walks in the middle of the conversation. I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast, but it's really funny. She walks in during the middle of our conversation, right when Saroj is asking me if I exercised my options, but he didn't say options. He said, did you exercise? I said, yeah, I exercised last night. Did you? Or yesterday, did you? He's like, yeah, yeah. And she looks at us and she's, you guys exercised? What? It was really funny at the time, just the look on her face and this look of disbelief. Then when we told her, she's like, oh, okay, okay. But anyway, trying to get in shape here. Actually sore from my weekend workout. My goal, and I've actually told this to my wife, is to be in what Bill Burr calls sitting down shape by next summer. Sitting down shape is when you can take off your shirt, because you know, you can, standing is quite forgiving, right? If you take off your shirt and you're standing and you look at yourself, you know, you can get away with a lot. But sitting is a completely different story, because out of nowhere, I can't tell the story as well as Bill Burr, but out of nowhere, all of this stuff just shows up, right? And so I have announced that I'm going to be, by next summer, I'm going to be in sitting down shape, where I can take off my shirt outside and sit down and be comfortable, as long as Kevin Spacey's not anywhere in sight. Okay, so here is the obligatory standard weekly racism update. I noticed that there was another white separatist rally, White Lives Matter or something like that, rally somewhere in this country. I clipped it, but for some reason I deleted it. Didn't think it would be worth talking about. It's funny now, my show, I used to prepare a lot more. Now, the show prep is clip, 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 talk, talk, talk. That's sort of my show now. There's no think, think, think. I used to do a lot more thinking before shows. But there was some white separatist, what's the phrase that I'm looking for? White nationalist movement rally. And people always have to protest that stuff now, which is just stupid, right? Because it results in violence and everything. But why? This is a good thing if you think about it, right? Because these people, well, whether you're for it or against it, they're telling you where they are, right? So if you're for it, you can go. If you're against it, you can stay away. It's very easy. So there was that, but the update that I have is, NewsWire Papa John's has now been forced to tell racists not to eat its pizza. And tough spot for Papa John's pizza, right? They are the official pizza of the NFL. The NFL is sort of has this dispute with its players. They began protesting police violence, which I think is a, you know, it's actually a valid cause. Whether or not it should be done at work is a different story, I guess. But now it's become obviously this thing about patriotism and has sort of slid, you know, I guess it's been manipulated by the alt-right. Anyway, that's what Papa John's is claiming anyway. But they have, the alt-right has embraced Papa John's because Papa John, the founder, was critical of the players, which put him on the side of Trump, I guess, which put him on the side of the nationalists, which put him on the side of the alt-right, which apparently has put him on the side of the KKK and other racist groups, which, man, that's got to suck, right? You can't win. This has become a no-win situation for them. And so he's had to distance himself. So he's distancing himself from the NFL. But now this guy has actually had to come and distance himself from the alt-right and this group that created a picture of a pizza with a bunch of pepperonis on it in the shape of a swastika. But this has got to end, right? Any company that has to sell product to the public now has a bullseye on it, right? Anytime something like this happens, if the people who are upset, and of course a lot of people are upset with racists, but still, you got to pin it. You got to pin it on this company. It's just horrible. I actually feel for this company. Because they didn't go out seeking this, right? And so, you know, you have to release a statement that says, can I find the quote? We condemn racism in all forms and any and all hate groups that support it. We do not want these individuals or groups to buy our pizza. The article says, what weird, stupid times we find ourselves living in. I agree. And I remember Ron Paul had this problem where these racists want to attach themselves to him. I mean, really? You know, they sought him out, not the other way around. And, you know, these people are going to eat too. I'm not against racist eating, right? So anyway, that's Papa John's. I feel bad for him, but you know what? I don't feel so bad for them that I'm going to go out and buy that pizza because that is some horrible pizza. So that's a racism update. I have an update, two updates I've put under the irony category. And I've been clipping these for a while, so I can't remember exactly what I was thinking. USA Today, several states crack down on fake service animals. Okay, yeah. That's a bit of a twist, right? I think that's funny. Oops, I lost the story. Why are these stories showing up as pop-ups now? That's really annoying. That's a trend, I guess. I try to click this thing and it shows up, comes up as a pop-up. And I don't realize that it's actually the story that's a pop-up, so I delete it. That must be the trick, right? They're trying to get us used to pop-ups. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. The title says it all, right? So the state created this beast, right? Right, that you could only have your animal. They force businesses to allow service animals in, so now everyone's going to pretend that they have a service animal. It's good. It's good, right? Like everyone's pretending they're handicapped so they can use the, whatever, the accessible parking spots. So everyone's going to run to the doctor and get the sticker. Now everyone's going to run to the doctor and claim that their poodle is a service dog. Let's see. Okay, it's because someone with a poodle in an elevator or something claimed that her dog wasn't an emotional support dog and needed the dog with her all the time. That's ridiculous, right? Just get rid of these laws. Right? But it is funny. They created this. Okay. Also under irony, NPR, Canada's welcome to immigrants has some unintended consequences. So I think I know what this is about. This is about when Donald Trump was elected. Yeah, you have to get this about Canadians. They're always looking to differentiate themselves from Americans. That's essentially the national identity right there. So once Trump was elected, Canadians somewhere, somehow, I think, took the occasion to differentiate themselves and say, hey, come over here. We're not like that. You know, we don't have a president like that. So I think a lot of people took them up on it. Too many. Now they're backpedaling. Gotta love that. The article says, migrants can't, quote, just show up. This year, more than 15,000 people have illegally crossed the border from the U.S. to Canada. You know, I shouldn't laugh because now they're going to get a nut job prime minister, right? Who's gonna promise to build a wall. International Social Service is a nonprofit that helps immigrants and refugees settle in Canada. Mona Hassania is one of the center's directors. She says 80% of her clients have walked over the border from the United States into Canada. Yeah, that's what you get if you invite people. Oh, that's funny. After President Trump launched his travel ban, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau made a point of accepting a number of Syrian refugees and tweeting, hashtag welcome to Canada. Hassania says many refugees in the United States have taken up the implicit offer. Love it. Okay, the next set of stories I have tagged danger. This one in particular is for my good buddy Tony in Sonoma. U.S. woman jailed after tweet called insulting to Zimbabwe ruler. That's on CNN. This is actually pretty scary stuff. An American woman in Zimbabwe has been sent to prison after reportedly tweeting that President Robert Mugabe, one of Africa's longest-serving leaders, is a, quote, selfish and sick man, according to court documents. So, Martha Donovan, 25. Wow. Okay, wait. She has a profile, I think. Martha Donovan, 25, works for a satirical video website. She may have a pretty prominent social media profile, which may have contributed to this. But that's scary, huh? That is scary. She faces 20 years in prison if convicted. Brutal. So why do I have this tagged danger Tony? Because Tony is thinking of taking the family to Zimbabwe and hanging out there for a while. While I applaud his spirit, inside I've been thinking, I don't know if I would be doing that. and here's the funny thing about that. Many times over the past decade and a half, I have been in that situation where I've been with the wife and we've been telling friends and family what we're going to do, which, you know, in my opinion is not such a big deal, but quitting the job, you know, sort of doing the nomad thing for a while, going around, you know, with a couple of kids. But I remember the look that people would give me, you know, and it's like sort of like I was crazy. And I got used to the look and I got comfortable with the look to the point where the look doesn't bother me. But the twist here is now Tony is telling me about him going off, spending a year or so in Africa, you know, sort of uprooting, going there, checking things out. And the look comes back, but now the look is on my face and I'm looking at Tony, which is a complete twist. And now I know how it feels like to be on the other side of that. Thank you very much, Tony. But be careful if you go, because that place sounds a little bit screwed up. Also under danger, CNN. Jeez, I got to get through this podcast quick because the gang is going to come back soon. Catalan ex-president released by Belgian judge. Catalonia's former... computer's slow. I can't even scroll. Anyway, the dude in charge of that, right? Had to flee. Ex-president was granted conditional release by the judge after fleeing to Belgium. So that's not good, right? That's what you get for spearheading a separatist movement. No surprise, Spain was not down with that. What else do we have here? Under danger... Oh, yeah. This one also kind of scary. NewYorkTimes.com. The upheaval in Saudi Arabia. You heard that a bunch of princes were either detained or arrested. And those things happened. But I didn't know that Prince Alawid bin Talal. You know, the guy with the sunglasses and the Citicorp stocks. Didn't know that he was part of it, which is crazy. Oh, podcast is coming to an abrupt end. I'm going to pause and see if I can come back to this later. Well, that was interesting. So what was 1 second for you guys was actually 11 hours for me. It is about 5:30 a.m. On a Tuesday morning now here at the office. So this is my first opportunity at some, you know, coherent behavior, you know, the first opportunity I've had to put a chain of reasoning longer than two links together. But I'm back after dinner, fun and games with the kids, all that stuff. So kind of lost my spot here. I think we were talking about the shakeup, the anti-corruption shakeup in Saudi Arabia, and some more pictures coming out this morning of these guys, these princes, in their five-star prison, basically sleeping on mattresses on the floor, like camping mattresses in a Ritz-Carlton. And it's just crazy because they've juxtaposed that picture with recent conferences they've had at that hotel where some of these princes were actually speaking. So just strange how things can change so quickly. I got to wrap it up soon here. Maybe I'll talk about this story from the Washington Post. I don't know if you guys seen this. Senator Rand Paul was attacked in front of his home. And this is a really strange story. Because when it first broke, all it said was there was a scuffle. Senator Paul was attacked on his lawn, assaulted on his lawn, sustained minor injuries, and is recovering, which was weird enough. But the stuff that's come out since then is even more strange, because the injuries he sustained were much more serious than what was originally reported. They were talking about minor injuries. Now it turns out the guy, he had several cracked ribs, like seriously cracked ribs, and it's going to take him a while to recover. And this guy who inflicted the injuries on him may result in some felony charges rather than a misdemeanor. So this is pretty serious. And what's really interesting is, think of it this way. So they're saying it was just a neighborly dispute, had nothing to do with politics. If that's true, that's even more weird. Because think about the scene here. This is, Senator Paul, like, most other senators, is, a man of the people. So naturally, he lives in a highly exclusive gated community as far away from the public as possible. So his neighbor is must be some well-to-do guy. They're reporting he's either a doctor or something like that. And so he's well-to-do, and they had a dispute, and obviously this guy just beat the crap out of him. It wasn't just a scuffle. He didn't just tackle him as what the reports were saying. I mean, what is he, a chandelier? You don't sustain those types of injuries from just being taken to the ground, right? He was on the grass too, I think, right? I think he was mowing his lawn. So they're reporting it as a trivial dispute, but really it sounds like the guy took him down and maybe even started kicking him when he was down, which is crazy, because think about it. If the attacker is just a regular guy who lives in this gated community, assume he has a family, assume he has a job, right, that he doesn't want to lose. I don't see anything about priors. You would think that would come out, right? If he was a violent person, you would think that would be all over the reports, and I don't recall seeing anything like that. So what could have happened? They're saying neighborly dispute? I don't know, because if it was me, I'm trying to imagine myself on my lawn cutting the grass, which I never do, but if I was, and my neighbor, who's, decent guy, what could he do that would make me just lose it like that and risk my job and risk going to prison? It would have to be something pretty bad, right? It would have to be something involving my wife or my kids. It wouldn't just be, a noisy dog or a party, or I don't know, leaving his recycling bin on my side of the line. It wouldn't be anything like that. It would have to be something pretty crazy. So that's interesting. I just wonder. It'd be interesting to see what comes out of this. All right, guys. Sorry, I gotta go. Thanks for tuning in. You can tweet me at Albert K. Liu or email at question@powerandmarket.com. Till next time, take care.